God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe in him, in his word, in his promise, and his covenant, we speak about the happenings in this world. Remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There is no movement in the globe, on the globe, that is more utterly satanic than the lie of transgenderism. And one can discern that by simply measuring its fruits. The Supreme Court has said that Idaho can continue to enforce a ban against these so-called medical procedures. And here's where we go through the lies in such an easy, easy sense. USA Today. When I searched Google for results on this topic, on this ruling by the Supreme Court, this is one of the first two articles that came up, the other from ABC News, which is a little more balanced, but we'll get into that. Headline, Supreme Court lets Idaho enforce ban on transgender care. Okay, stop. There's no such thing as a transgender person, and this is not care. Now, you could say that's utterly subjective. That's your opinion. Other people differ. No. No one has ever been born in the wrong body. The lie of transgenderism begins with, you were born in the wrong body. We're going to fix that. It's not that your mind has an issue. It's not that you become confused. It's not that you're going through puberty and don't like the changes. It's not that you want to defy your gender. You want to deny this is who you are. Those are all mental issues. Your body is you, and you are your body. From your toes through your abdomen, you are connected all the way up into your brainstem. I remember a little song my mom used to sing to me. From my fingers to my toes to my hands, and it was all about, you know, the fact that our bodies are natural things. We are our bodies. So the lie begins with the word transgender. That no one has ever been or ever can be transgender. It's a focus group created lie from the pits of hell. And Satan is a liar, thief, and the murderer from the beginning. So back to the headline. Supreme Court lets Idaho enforce ban on, there's the word, that's a lie, and then the word care. Let's go to the very, very basis of what we've agreed care is, medically speaking, for, since the time of Socrates. First, do no harm. Hippocratic oath. First, do no harm. The shooting up of kids with puberty blockers harms them. It creates brittle bone disease. It's known to lower IQ points by 10. It creates problems with maturation of the brain because we are our bodies. It's not just pausing the body's puberty. It's pausing the growth of the human. The whole person. And once these procedures begin and you stall puberty using a drug, which is most commonly used to destroy the prostates of men who have cancer, not even cleared for these usages, it is not reversible. How do you take someone whose puberty has been stolen at the age of 12 and at the age of 18, how do you give that back to them? You have a magic time machine? Back to the USA Today article about the Supreme Court deciding Idaho gets to support this ban, gets to enforce this ban. Nearly half the states have taken steps to limit access to gender-affirming care. Stop. Do you affirm the height of your body by cutting parts of your legs off? Is that how you affirm the height of your body? Do you affirm the color of your car by having it painted a different color? No. The lie of transgenderism is the most satanic of all things going on in the world, save perhaps abortion. And even now you have Bill Maher, as we'll talk about this hour. Bill Maher's admitted that abortion is murder, and he says he's fine with that. Interestingly, his audience, for the first time I've ever seen a Bill Maher commentary where his audience was awkwardly silent. Back to the USA Today article. The Supreme Court on Monday said Idaho can enforce a law banning gender transition care for minors. So we go right back to the lie, you cannot transition. Do you transition a car into a motorcycle? No. You can't do that. Well, no, I mean, Todd, you could cut two of the wheels off and cut the axle in half and then cut the car body in half and then figure out a way to have an engine that... No, you can't. The court did so over the objections of three liberal justices. In its first case about restrictions on puberty blockers and hormone therapy, there we go, therapy. Stop, pause. Therapy, how is it therapeutic? When you take a car that runs on unleaded fuel into the gas station and you stick diesel in it and it blows up, do you go and say, well, look, I was just doing fuel therapy? And then they get back to you for transgender people under the age of 18, the court has acted on. So by using the word transgender, which is wholly made up, they get to color this as some sort of medical issue when it's not. Because this is not medical care. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Now, think of this here. They're going to write this paragraph and fail to mention that Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson has no idea what a woman is. She is unable to say. She didn't recuse herself from this case, even though she's admitted she has absolutely no idea what it means to be a woman. Therefore, how can she understand anything about gender? She's already admitted she doesn't understand the concept of gender. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, writing for herself and Justice Sonia Sotomayor, criticized the majority for granting Idaho's request through its emergency route rather than letting it proceed through regular channels. So why did they choose the emergency route? Because harm is being done to kids. Because as you treat the least of these, so you treat me. Because those who would present the stumbling block to the little ones on their way to the Lord Jesus will wish that there'd been a millstone put around their neck and they'd been tossed into the sea. Because harm is being done. And this is what Jackson wrote. The court is not compelled to rise and respond every time an applicant rushes to us with an alleged emergency, and it's especially important for us to refrain from doing so in novel, highly charged, and unsettled circumstances. Okay, let's go through these series of lies. Novel. This isn't novel. Babylonians castrated kids. In biblical times, prior to the Lord Jesus, in fact, prior to the Bible, obviously prior to the Bible, but prior to Moses bringing the law, they castrated kids all the time to create permanent eunuchs for the pleasure of adults or to subjugate societies, to make sure that societies that you were doing ethnic cleansing to didn't get to reproduce. So it's not novel, highly charged. So Ketanji Jackson, who doesn't know what a woman is and didn't recuse herself from a case involving gender, even though she admitted she has no concept of what gender means, says that this is a highly charged case. Every case that makes it to the Supreme Court is highly charged. Every single case that makes it that high is highly charged. And unsettled circumstances. So again, think of this sentence. Transgenderism and the lie of it is the most satanic thing in our world right now. It comes from the pit of hell. It is evidence of Satan being a liar, thief, and the murderer from the very, very beginning. Think again of this sentence from Ketanji Jackson. This court is not compelled to rise and respond every time an applicant rushes to us with an alleged emergency. Pause. Okay. Fair enough. In this case, the majority said, yeah, we're going to take this because it's an emergency, continuing her sentence. It's especially important for us to refrain from doing so in a novel. This isn't novel. Highly charged. All Supreme Court cases are highly charged and unsettled circumstances. Every case that comes before the court is unsettled. Yes, lower courts have ruled on it, but it remains unsettled because it's coming to the Supreme Court. Effectively, what she said here, the only part of her sentence that makes any sense is we are not compelled to rise and respond every time an applicant rushes to us. That's the only part of it that has any truth whatsoever to this. You can track a thing and a theory and a movement by looking at the lies involved in it. Transgenderism cannot support any even scratching at the surface of it. Even light questioning of it makes it collapse. How do you know when someone's transgender? Is it an MRI or a CAT scan? Is it a blood test? No, they tell you. Oh, I see. So is this like when I go to a brain surgeon and knock on the door and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, I've got a brain tumor. Will you take it out? Well, gosh, we've got to do a lot of things. We'd need to do a CAT scan of your mind and your brain and an MRI. And I know I have one. No, I know I was born with the wrong brain and I know that I've got a tumor. So I don't want any of that. Don't be a bigot. Don't you tell me. I know my body. I can self-diagnose. Only in this case, because it's wrapped up in the flesh, because it's wrapped up in sexuality, because the people who are pushing this, pharma is pushing this, the sexual left is pushing this, and people who want the earth depopulated are pushing this. Therefore, all those things have to be wrapped up in lies. I'm sorry for being really, I realize I'm kind of yelling at you. I apologize for my tone. Please forgive me. This stuff just is so poisonous. I've seen so many families destroyed by it. It's sometimes difficult for me to be, well, calm. I will calm myself. I apologize for my tone. Back to the USA Today article. The ACLU called the Supreme Court's decision an awful result for transgender youth and their families across the state. So again, the lie of the word transgender, no one is. Today's ruling allows the state to shut down the care that thousands of families rely on while sowing further confusion and disruption. Pause. So it is further confusing to go back to a basic fact. You are your body. Back to the basics of medicine. First, do no harm. Back to, you want to know what came after first, do no harm? I mean, that's a great statement. So how do you put teeth around that? You do the least invasive thing until you're forced to do an invasive thing. About 3 years ago, I went to a sinus doc and I could not breathe. I was you know, squirting this stuff up my nose, Afrin, 10, 20, and eventually 50 times a day. And the doctor told me, that's not going to work. That's going to destroy your sinus cavities. You got to stop. And so she gave me a bunch of different treatments. She sent me to an allergist. They did like those 300 holes on my skin to see if I'm allergic to something. She gave me then pills. She gave me stuff to put in my nose. She gave me a wash. And at the whole beginning of that, she said, I fear we might have to do surgery on you. But I want to do everything I can to avoid surgery. She's a surgeon. And ultimately, she told me, hey, Todd, you know what? We're going to have to operate. It's going to be a painful procedure, but it's otherwise you're going to choke to death. But a kid walks into a Planned Parenthood and says, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. Okay, here's some hormones. Let's get you on the surgery. There is no bigger lie, nothing more satanic, in my judgment, than the lie of transgenderism. We'll come back with a discussion young people are having online that's actually substantive, if only they could bring the Word of God to it. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I've been making an effort to invest in reaching young men and been doing that through my podcast, which is making the move to video in a very serious way. God built this video studio for us. I'm actually broadcasting from that studio today. And in this investment, I'm having to spend some time. God help me. Give me strength. I'm having to spend some time becoming associated with what young men are viewing in YouTube and Instagram. And no, I'm not looking at anything pornographic. I won't do that. I discovered, 20 years ago, I would never, ever look again at a pornographic image. Praise God for that. It's so hard for other people to quit. And if you're in that circumstance, it can be done. I don't want to digress. I'm looking at what drives outrage and what drives curiosity. And what young people are arguing about are actually often very, very substantive issues. Really, they are. And that surprised me. And I know that makes me sound bigoted towards young people. When I say young people, by the way, I mean people 35 and under. And as I spend time in social network streams associated with what they're looking at, oftentimes the arguments are about things that actually matter, like the nature of male-female relationships. And being social media, there are people who troll. There are people who are provocative on purpose, and they create names for themselves doing this. And I think one of the things that the enemy uses against young people, and maybe people in general, is binary phrases like feminism. Feminism is a binary phrase in that you are either a feminist or not. There's a woman named Nora Fatehi. I hope I'm saying her name correctly. She is an Indian woman, and she is hogging headlines, it says. Hogging headlines in the IndianExpress.com. Actor Nora Fatehi is hogging headlines for her viral video on feminism. Speaking at YouTuber Ranveer Alabadi's podcast, Fatehi spoke about how feminism had ruined society by brainwashing men and women. She also said women are nurturers and need to take up the role of being mother, therefore sparking a chatter on social media.
This
is true. That did happen. There was this chatter on social media and these arguments in social media. And when this occurred and I got to go look into the thread, I said, okay, so what did she actually say? What is the actual source of actual outrage? And this is part of what she said. And as you listen to this, tell me when you get to the part where you think she's being utterly outrageous.
This idea of like, I don't need anybody and feminism. I don't believe in this at all. In fact, I think feminism f***ed up our society. And the idea of being completely independent and not having to get married and have kids and not having the male and female dynamics in the home where the man is a provider and a breadwinner and the woman is a nurturer. I don't believe in people who think that that's not true.
So putting aside the fact that we had to bleep some of the things she said, putting that aside, what do you think so far? It's outrageous, right? Well, some of the comments in social media really show this huge level of outrage, but it's all based upon the binary lie. You're a feminist or not. So many of the comments are saying, well, then you're not a feminist. And you don't support women. This is one major trick that the enemy is pulling, particularly with young people.
I think women are nurturers. Yes, they should go to work and have their own life and be independent. But to a certain extent, they should also be ready to take on the role of being a mother and a wife and a nurturer. Just like a man should be ready to take a role of being a provider and a breadwinner and a father and a husband. We call it old school.
We call it old school. Well, we call it biblical. We call the complementarian roles between men and women biblical. That we have strengths and we have areas in which we're less strong. Now, she's Indian, so likely not Christian. The people in social media in America, They don't even consult a biblical view on this. Now, this is what's fascinating to me, is that doesn't even come up. This is just the finishing of her statement here.
Traditional way of thinking. I think I call it the normal way of thinking. It's just feminism it up a little bit. We are all equal in more sentimental things, but in societal things, we are not equal. I think everyone plays their role. Feminism inherently on the base level is great. The foundation of it is great. I also, you know, advocate for women's rights. I also want girls to go to school. I also believe in all these things. However, when feminism becomes radical, which is what has happened in the last 15 to 20 years, it's dangerous for the society.
So I guess the question is, can feminism be biblical? Well, only if masculinism can be biblical. So how would you make it biblical? This is where young people have this gap. And it's extraordinary when you actually get a chance to talk with them about this gap and to help them fill this in. And I've had the great pleasure of doing this in person in the youth groups in which I co-lead with a friend of mine, Andy. And I'm starting to, we're going to go into another group. I'm going to be leading ninth graders. I've been leading seniors who've been in youth ministry their whole lives. That's been easy duty. The ninth graders, that's not going to be as easy a duty. But when you have an opportunity to speak biblically to these young people, it's extraordinary how ready they are to hear this message. And it's not just in the enclave of North Idaho, where church is much more common. In fact, it's uncommon to not go to church. But if you've ever had the conversation with young people who they don't know, and I have yet to meet a young person on social media who knows, when I say to them, when was the one time God said his creation was not good? Every time I've asked that question, as I'm trying to interact with these young people, every time I've asked that question, they've either bluffed or said, I don't know. When I tell them it was when man existed without woman, that it was not good, that changes a lot of people's hearts. So does this phrase. You know from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33, you know, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he's the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. That piece is pretty well known, even from young people who've never read the Bible. At least they know, well, wait, aren't wives supposed to submit to their husbands? When I read to them verse 21, it kind of confuses them or causes them to lean in. Submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. What? I said, submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. Feminism can be biblical if masculinism is biblical. I'm making it up, masculinism. So how would that happen? It would happen by having reverence for how God designed the two separate sexes, with the relative strengths and the relative weaknesses. It would have reverence for the roles. It would have honor and gratitude for how God created us differently and loves us equally. It would recognize that God did not create man and man. He could have just given Adam a bud, a buddy to hang out with. I like hanging out with my buddies, you? That's not what he did. He created a human being he loved equally, with different body parts, different psychology to a degree, different needs to a degree. And so this complementarianism makes it possible to come together as one flesh, submitting to one another. That often changes the dynamic. So as I'm spending this time in social media, and God give me strength to get through this, trying to become acclimated to what these young people are talking about, I run into people like this. This is a social media kind of star, really. Her name is Ola Buda Aquino. And she is kind of speaking back into women's lives. Again, these people speak in very rough ways, in my opinion. And she wants women to reflect upon a different view of male-female dynamic.
The entire body of a woman is the creator of life. No, sorry.
That's false.
Everything. We create life.
No. Let me correct you. Women bring about life. Men create life. And right now I got 80 billion life forms living in me. Your eggs are dead until a man puts life form in you. Furthermore, you only have an X chromosome. Men hold the X and the Y chromosome. So we also dictate the sex of the baby. So you should be thanking your father for creating you, because your mother only brought you to term. But your father is your creator.
I made a video when I said this exact same thing. Now, women are taking too much credit, and women feel like they are gods just because they get pregnant and they give birth to children. Now, you have heard it from a genius, like a brilliant mind, somebody who has actually done studies enough to understand what's going on. A woman just carries the life.
See, the binary. It's utterly ridiculous. And the rough language is attention-seeking. It makes it difficult to have any serious consideration for what they're saying. And that's the life of young people, I guess. Unchurched young people. But the point that they're making, and they don't know they're making, is the complementarianism. So feminism can be biblical as long as masculinism is biblical. And that goes back to understanding God's perfect design for male and female. And why he created a situation where we are necessary for one another. We're a heteronormative species that cannot propagate without that complementarian biology, and our families are not successful if we do not regard the complementarian psychology and needs. That balance of male and female as kids are growing up gives them the closest thing they can to God's design for family, which was one man and one woman in a married state. And young people in social media are seeking information on this, and young men are seeking biblical information on this, but they're getting it from people like Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager is writing a series of books called The Rational Bible. He, Dennis Prager, deciding what is rational and what is not rational in God's word. Or they're getting it from people who, well, may well be seeking more donations than they are actually saving souls. We don't do that at AFR. There's one boss, that's God. There's a stewardship team, that's the Wildman family. Then there's family, that's you. This piece really surprised a lot of people, and it got people talking about, wait, this woman sold her femininity. One of the comments was about this young woman talking about how marriage changed her view of feminism. Some of the comments from young women are, oh, okay, so you've now sold women out because you found a comfortable and decent mate.
I must be pretty weak-willed, because all it took was falling in love with a man, and now I'm like, not really. I mean, I'm a feminist, but like, kind of. I don't really need my maiden name. I don't really need it. I like your last name better anyway. Like, I'll just take that. I know he can do his own laundry. I know that he can clean the house, but I want to do it for him. I want to cook all his meals. I want to make sure he's getting all his whole grains, all his vegetables. I want to make sure he's getting all that protein. He has not asked any of this of me. It just kind of naturally kicks in. Like, these instincts just kind of come out of like, oh, now I have to take care of you when you're sick. Oops, I made you breakfast and it fits all of your dietary requirements. My bad. I think I got possessed by a housewife.
She put the music in, not me. The young women responding to this have often said, okay, you've sold your femininity. That's it. You've sold your womanhood. See, it's this binary. And this is one of the tricks that Satan plays, particularly with young folks, the binary. You're either strong feminist or you sell out. And again, I go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. You submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. We read that. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present herself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. When you start with the beginning, the first sentence here, instructions for Christian households, submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ, you now get the yin-yang sort of aspect to this. I understand that yin-yang is not Christian. But you get the balance. And it is the balance that Satan doesn't want the young people to have. He doesn't want them to be able to have the nuance of what it actually means to be one flesh, to need one another. Not just to make babies, but to be balanced human beings. Where a man is strong, a woman is weak, and where a woman is weak, a man is strong. And it's on a spectrum. I get that. Our young people need us. They need us to be around them. Speaking God's word into these questions, because as I said at the beginning of the segment, they're actually arguing about some pretty substantive things. We'll come back with Bill Maher and a moment of shocked silence. When your opponent or enemy shows you who they are, believe them. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I'm not saying that Bill Maher, the television host, is my enemy. I don't know that he is. He is definitely my opponent in some ways. He sometimes says some things that make sense, and he gets played on conservative talk radio in those days. We played a few things here. He's on to the gender madness. He's on to the utter depravity of chemically and surgically mutilating children. He was very early aware of the absolute scam, the swindle, the brutality of the medically useless, deadly, politically motivated lockdowns. So he's been right on those things. Recently, Bill Maher showed how wrong one can be. It's stunning in a way, because normally the audience for Bill Maher's show has been conditioned to clap at everything he says, that he's the great bringer of wisdom. Listen to the audience respond when Bill Maher explains that, of course, abortion is murder.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women, people who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on that. What?
That's quite harsh, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not
is
sure
that
you're
not your position if you're pro-choice?
Isn't that mainly because you don't like children? I mean,
yeah,
no,
exactly.
No. I mean, but if you are, you said you're pro-choice. Mm. That's your position too.
So it's provocative, and maybe that's the point. And I guess I would say to Bill Maher, well, kill yourself. Take your own life. One fewer person. There's a commonality I've found in everybody who holds Bill Maher's position. You know what? It's 100% across the board true. They're all alive. They all draw breath. And they say things like that. I'm not particularly proud of myself for how I dealt with it, but once in Seattle, I was walking into a restaurant with my daughter and her three cousins. And as we passed this guy, he said, wow, you need all of those? Replacing yourself wasn't enough. You need all of those? I stopped and said, pardon me? He said, you need all those? Replacing yourself was not enough. And he was at the bar with a young woman. They had the look of someone being on a first date, uncomfortable, you know. And she was not thrilled with what he said. She kind of put her hand over her face like, I can't believe this guy just said that. So I said to my daughter and the kids, I said, hey, go have a seat. Waitress will take you. I'll be right there. My daughter gave me this look like, don't make a big deal. So when they were out of earshot, I said to him, you know, we're on the fourth story of a building. Why don't you go jump off head first? He said, what? I said, you're talking about my children as if they're things. If you think the world's overpopulated, go subtract yourself. And the lady he was with kind of giggled. He said, well, that's not going to fix anything. That's not my point. I said, you're talking about my children. Now, of course, just my daughter, cousin. He was no business of his. How many kids were mine? And this is the part I'm not proud of. He didn't apologize. He didn't say anything to try to assuage it. So I said, listen, if that's not clear enough that you're talking about my children, we can go outside out here and I bet I can make it super clear to you. I shouldn't have said that last part. I'm okay with everything else I said, but not that last part. That was stupid. That was my flesh. But that's Seattle as well. So that guy was alive, drawing breath, saying those things. Really, it's an invitation we should give people, not because we want them to do it, God forbid, but to really think when you say something like that. What if everybody did it? On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Bill Maher on these huge pedestals, and they're way up high, and look how important they are, but the pedestals are made of things like shaking sand or jello.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that, Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think does back up my assertion that God allows people like Bill Maher to have their moments or even decades in the sun so that they can show off their wisdom. First sound bite for today's episode of the, what is it? I'm getting the Biden, brain, the Tower of Babbling. Do you ever wonder, truly wonder, if the hosts at CNN ever get tired of, get exhausted having to constantly cover for people that work for the figurehead?
I just want to note that a short time ago, we had a graphic up earlier that said that President Joe Biden would be addressing the nation. That was an error. We just want to clarify that, and we regret that mistake.
Yeah, he was sleeping probably, or at the beach. No, legitimately probably at the beach. Figurehead Biden, but they have to cover for them. The nation is on a precipice of war that we've helped foment by funding Iran. Barack Hussein Obama had funded Iran illegally with hundreds of billions of dollars because he and Susan Rice were obsessed for whatever reason with empowering Iran, just like this nation fomented the war in Ukraine by pushing Putin to the conclusion that they knew would cause this war. CNN has to cover for the figurehead not addressing the nation. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Does John Kirby, the spokesliar for the State Department, ever go home and collapse in mental fatigue when he spent the day pretending that Iran, officially entering the war with Israel instead of using its proxies, is not an escalation of the war?
A lot of people watched what happened in the skies over the Middle East overnight, and they are wondering this morning, has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to.
And the president, are we now in the midst of a wider war?
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction.
He will not answer. The answer is yes. The answer is Israel is now surrounded on all four sides. That's exactly what the people who run Iran want, of course, is Israel surrounded so they can destroy all Jewish people, starting with those in Israel. The Iranian people don't want that. I heard an interview with one of the people who helps run Voice of the Martyrs, their great program that beams the word of God into countries like that. They polled, an informal poll of young Iranians. They'd prefer to have the United States invade Iran. and get rid of the mullahs, United States or Israel, Endor. Last clip in today's Tower of Babbling. We thank God for placing these supposedly wise people on these tall towers of shaking sand. CNN's Christine Amanpour says the Iranian attack was very targeted. Does she ever tire of covering for governments like Iran?
It's very clear now that we hear what the actual base target was. The Iranians say it was the base from which the attack on its consulate was launched. So it seems to be entirely targeted. It wasn't an attack directed at the whole of Israel.
And by the way, she's sort of right. But she has a habit of explaining and carrying water for regimes like Iran. It seems, and this could be, well, something that should be a lot bigger story, it seems that the Iranians may have orchestrated this with the United States, the White House, this attack. Townhall.com has a story indicating that the Biden regime knew about this. They knew that these attacks were coming. So they said to Iran, you can do this, but it has to be within certain limits. Now, if that sounds bizarre, please remove from your vocabulary in relation to the people who run Joe Biden. They would never do that. Please remove that from your vocabulary. When you're dealing with people who want abortion to be legal up to the point of after birth, literally a baby outside the body, they want to call that abortion? There's nothing they wouldn't do. In fact, a book I'm reading about the Kennedy assassination has literal copies of letters that Kennedy and Khrushchev wrote to one another. You know what they said? Back and forth. If you need to make a very bellicose statement against me, go ahead. If you need to do something bellicose, go ahead. I understand that your military leaders and your intelligence services are going to demand that of you. While they were having secret peace talks, these two leaders of their countries, they were play acting. So would the Biden regime do this? In my judgment, absolutely, because I can't see anything they wouldn't do. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On a Disciple's View.
I've been taking some strange advice from my coach. When I signed up to do this SEALFIT thing in September, this 50 hours of just pretty much always on physical activity to mimic sort of Hell Week that the Navy SEALs go through, not Navy SEALs, but people who want to be Navy SEALs. I was aware that I was going to be in a program with guys who are probably a third my age, many of them half my age. There are older guys who get through it. I don't want to think I'm going to be special in any way. I'm not special in any way. There are guys my age who've gotten through this. I want to thrive in that environment. So I brought together a team of people to help me with this. One of them is a former Navy SEAL and a BUDS instructor. He's giving me sort of mental support and mental prep. And then my coach, my CrossFit coach. She's, of course, helping me train physically, but also mentally. She said something very interesting. She said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to keep a diary of every reason you should quit. I'm applying this to life. If you're facing a storm, if you're facing something very, very difficult, please arm yourself with every reason you should quit in advance, to deal with them in advance. I'm doing everything I can to use the Word of God in that because the Word of God never returns void. It has incredible power. So I can talk to myself about running the race with endurance. If I can do this physically, then I can do it spiritually. I can run the spiritual race. So if I'm lagging, I can call on that. Run the race with endurance. Finish the race. I can call on no spirit of fear because there's going to be drills at this thing in California where I'm going to look at that and go, I don't know that I can do this. There's surprise drills. Every year it's different. I may look at that and have a spirit of fear, but God did not give us a spirit of fear. And I've started to create these reasons as I'm training. This weekend, I did a combined almost 12 hours of exercise in 2 days. The second day, the last bit of exercise was just brutal. I was hurting. I was in pain. And I put on this weight vest and I ran on a trail where sometimes I had to scramble through rocks and sometimes I had to climb and sometimes I had to run. And it was a 5K, 3.2 some miles. And in the middle of that, Every reason to quit came at me. Look, you've been doing this all weekend. No one knows you're here. God sees. That's what came to me. God sees. Now, I don't think for 5 seconds that God particularly cares if I finish Sealford or not. He doesn't. But what I'm hoping to do to get out of this is to be able to draw on the word of God for daily life. God sees. When we're making horribly difficult decisions, wrestling with the flesh, or some of us paying taxes is so difficult given how perverse our government is, God sees. I was also making this analogy to myself. Every time I took a step on this 5K or crawled up a rock or lifted myself up these rock scrambles, I said, every step is a buy-in to the next step. Until that last step is sitting in your truck, having a hot tea or coffee, really, is me, and relaxing. Every step. Every step is one buy-in towards eternity. It's one buy-in towards becoming closer to Christ. Every hard thing we do is one buy-in closer to sanctification, closer to our Lord, closer to being like Him. If you're facing a storm, please make a reason, every reason, write them down that you should quit and conquer them in advance. And every time you can, invoke the word of God to conquer that in advance. Psychologically, your body doesn't know the difference if you train in advance for overcoming psychological limits. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We speak because we believe. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been The Disciples View.